Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scover, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our recap discussion for the 6th annual NICE project.
The main thing to take away from it is that, at least one of the main things, is that Bertha, even though she's virtually invisible for most of the book, has a huge impact on the story and all the other characters. Mm-hmm. And she, eventually, we realize that, at least in Rochester's mind, Jane is such a contrast to Bertha, and his attraction to Jane makes a lot more sense, because at first you're like, oh my god, Jane is so much younger than this guy, and they have nothing in common. But then when you start to understand more and more and more about his life and his experience from his point of view of Bertha, you can see where in Jane, he sees this opportunity, this chance to recapture part of his youth, his youthful married years, if you will, that were destroyed by Bertha. He feels like even at his older age, he can sort of reinvent that time of his life, if you will, with Jane. So Bertha plays a very important part in how Jane and Rochester's romance and life together evolves, I think.
I think that's very true. I think, yeah, without Bertha, I think you're right, that the appeal of, he like describes her as all but his sanity.
Mm-hmm.
She really likes that practical rootedness mm-hmm. to her.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, 20, 15 years before that those same qualities would have appealed to him in a romantic way.
No, it would have just come across as a creepy middle-aged man going after a very young girl who was in his household in a subservient position, like you alluded to earlier in our discussion. Mm-hmm. The Me Too movement would have been, hey, that's not cool. So we do get a broader perspective of Rochester through Bertha, and I think that's really interesting, especially how the book ends, and after Bertha has destroyed everything, and I'm trying not to give spoilers, but this book's been around for a long time, but when Jane and Rochester finally do end up together, Bertha played a huge role in that too. I mean, it wouldn't have been possible had she not done the crazy stuff she did, and by that time her craziness, I do believe, is She's at whatever wit's end she had left, whether she was driven to be insane or she just was insane. By her final acts, she is acting insanely. One could say, I get it, I understand why, she was kind of justified, but still, very extreme behavior and destructive behavior. But it does lead to the path of relationship fulfillment for Rochester and Jane, Rochester and Jane. So, again, so much.
Right, and I think we also just for sure need to touch on the fact that this is 2020. It's the year of the pandemic.
Yes.
It's the year of isolation, and I know that that's been something that you've been pondering deeply. Do you want to share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think all four of our books this year hit home on that level for me personally. Very deeply. And I think we talked about some things in earlier podcast episodes about some of my experiences that make that isolation, like my health problems, when we talked about Beth in Little Women and her dying, and we talked about my childhood health problems and my health problems today and everything. So we've covered that a lot, but I do feel like, my isolation this past year and going forward is virtually absolute. I mean, I'm living in the house with my husband, and we keep at least 6 feet apart at all times. And he goes to work and comes home every day. And I've told you he has this routine of, you know, disinfecting everything he touches and putting his clothes in the washing machine right away and showering right away before we are even in the two rooms apart. I mean, we're so apart. And you know, this is because of my health problems. You know, my doctors have told me if I get COVID-19, it will most likely, without doubt, I'm trying to be nice, but it'll kill me. And so I have to be protected at all times. And so, you know, that means I haven't been out of my house very often, because where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Go for a drive? Okay, you know, I've done that a couple times. It's not really fulfilling, you know. I've spent in the warmer weather, I was able to spend some time outside, masked, gloved, socially distant apart from, you know, my grandson and my daughter and her husband and my son. But that's it. I mean, I've not seen or been around people at all. And this started in mid-March of 2020, and it's now the end of December. And going forward, I will be continuing to do this even when vaccine is available for me, because, you know, people in my health situation will not be safe even with a vaccine until 70% of the entire country's population has achieved a level of immunity. So I'm in isolation for the long haul. And thank God for Zoom and Sarah E. because you keep me going. But our four books, all of our four, each of our four books in several different layered ways deals with isolation. And so this year, I think I noticed those elements more than I ever have in the past readings of these books. And all of these books I've read before this year many, many times, as we've talked about, from childhood on. So that was a very strange experience for me to read these books to, you know, this year through this lens of COVID-19 isolation. Sometimes I just had to put the books down because I couldn't take it. I was just like, I can't think about this. It's too depressing. I cannot imagine that it's going to be, you know, it's, depending on what part of the year I'm remembering, you know, it's going to be another 6 months, another year and a half, and however long it's going to be before I actually can physically hug my daughter or my son or my husband. I mean, it's like, I don't remember the last time we hugged, you know. It's been a long time. I might have to edit some of this out, but you know, but it's just that idea of how long will it be. That's kind of sad and depressing, and maybe someone's gonna end up locking me up in an attic, you know, because I'm gonna go crazy, you know. But you know what I mean, that COVID-19 isolation is really relatable, you know, when you're reading these books. And that I didn't expect that when we chose them, because when we chose these books, we didn't really have COVID-19 slapping us in the face yet, you know. So it's been a thing, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely. And you know, you talking through that makes me think that Bertha being isolated, that is not her choice at all.
Right.
Grace Poole, however.
Yes.
It is out of necessity, like a lot of us are choosing out of necessity to isolate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us are stuck with one or two other people in a small space, and we're only coming out periodically, like Grace Poole, to go, you know, get our food and come back up.
Right.
Some people, you know, the isolation, like Grace Poole, may drive us to drink or other different, you know, coping mechanisms, which may not be the healthiest.
That's right.
It makes me kind of now suddenly look at Grace Poole as a COVID-19 person familiar to us.
She could also be considered a healthcare hero. I mean, yes, she's getting paid. She has room and board, whatever. I mean, Rochester, she's an employee of Rochester's, right? But her job is to be in isolation with this crazy woman, or outside the door of the room of the crazy person. I mean, she's not free to roam around as much as the other inhabitants of Rochester's household.
Right.
She has a very limited existence, and it is in no small part got to be a mirror of the frustration of the modern day caregiver. I mean, I know people, and myself included, who have cared for elderly parents who for whatever, for many different reasons, whether it's, you know, dementia or Alzheimer's or just other medical conditions that have caused a deterioration in their mental capacities or their behavior changes, you know, whatever. It is grueling to be a caregiver in your home, an unpaid family caregiver, okay? Grace Poole, she may be paid, but she is in that home, and her job is grueling. You know, and it's physically taxing because she's dealing with a mad woman who lashes out physically a lot. So, you know, she is in charge of the restraints of Bertha. She is in charge of feeding her, and Bertha clearly is unkempt. She's got raggedy hair, and she, you know, bathing her is probably a huge issue. You know, hygiene, feeding. I mean, everything about this situation is horrifying, right? And Grace Poole is the caregiver for all that. So in some ways we can almost say she's like a healthcare, you know, hero in the COVID-19 era. But oh,
great. Right. And yeah, and it occurs to me now too that I always kind of viewed Grace Poole as being a neglectful caregiver.
Yes.
But now with a little bit more life experience,
yeah,
she had no backup. 24 hours,
and she's,
7 days a week. Of course she was going to fall asleep sometime.
And she's not described as a young woman herself, okay? And as we age, we get less strong physically, you know, and turning to alcohol. I think if I were her, I mean, again, let's walk a mile in someone's shoes, I'd probably be a flat-out drunk too, you know what I mean? Goodness. So, but yeah, this sense of isolation that we're experiencing, many of us are experiencing in COVID-19, and what we see in our four books, I think we definitely have some similarities there. And you can certainly kind of, it's easier in the global pandemic scenario of isolation to kind of empathetically put yourself in the situation of some of these characters. For example, even in Gone with the Wind, they make it back to Terra after the burning of Atlanta, that's a very isolated time period in the book. Nobody's visiting, nobody's coming and going. And then suddenly there's that Yankee deserter who comes to rob and potentially rape somebody, you know. And that's a very frightening thing. There have been times when I've been alone in the house, and, you know, I'm like, okay, I am completely alone in this house. I mean, there's nobody here but me. And you hear on the news about, you know, desperate people in the way the economy's tanked and everything, desperate people are breaking into cars and breaking into homes. And you know, I've given into fear in the middle of the night sometimes when I don't really need to, but, you know, I have. It's just this, it's kind of like your situation can make you feel a little unstable in your brain, you know. So I think, in, you know, whether it's Jonathan at Dracula's castle or, you know, Scarlet at Terra after the burning of Atlanta, or, you know, Joe alone in New York after Beth has died, or Bertha in the attic, or Jane in the Red Room, or whatever, you can really empathize with these isolating scenarios in our four books far, far easier and more deeply than, at least for me, than I ever did in the past reading these books. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's because of COVID-19. I mean, I've told you before, you know, it's like a roller coaster. Some days I'm fine, and some days I'm like, oh no, I'm going insane, you know, so.
Yeah, no, those are all excellent points, Alice. Yeah, absolutely.
Join us next time as we continue our recap discussion for the 6th annual NICE project. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.